And Paul writes to Timothy about the times that they're living in. And he describes a society, a world view of his time. But let's be honest, it's a world view that's very, very true of our society today, where people are, as it says in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 3, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Isn't he talking about our time? Doesn't that perfectly describe our society? In a world which has rejected God's way, in a world which seeks only to indulge themselves, in a world where people have given themselves over to what makes them feel good in themselves. It's all about me. And even within the church, we've seen how the church has sometimes accommodated this whole attitude of, well, you've got to please people in order to get people in. We've got to please people. We've got to be crowd pleasers. And anything that we do that doesn't please the crowd, then we've got to get rid of it. And the message that we're told we need to give is not a message of sin and judgment, but a message of love. God is love. God forgives us all. Yet, the truth is that people are looking to have their itching ears satisfied. You know when you have an itch, what happens? You must scratch it. You must, because it's really annoying. And the only way that you really feel as if it's going to be satisfied is if you scratch, if you meet the need. And that's exactly what happens with our world, where there's all these lies and all these falsehoods and all these temptations that are being put out there. And who's putting them out there? It's Satan, the devil. So how are we to live? Well, the Apostle Paul, and that's by way of an introduction. How are we in the church to face all of this? Well, the Apostle Paul, and this is where we have taken up our main passage that we're going to be looking at, is chapter 4. But the Apostle Paul challenges Timothy about how he can be effective in such a world, how he is to live in such a world where there's so much deceit and lies, where people are so blinded, where people will not listen. You know, it's something that we really need to pay attention to. J.I. Packer, and this is quite a long quote, so I was going to cut it down, but I couldn't decide where to cut. J.I. Packer, who's a Christian leader and commentator, said these words. Certainty about the great issues of the Christian faith and conduct is lacking all along the line. The outside observer sees us staggering on from gimmick to gimmick and stunt to stunt, like so many drunks in a fog, not knowing at all where we are or which way we should be going. Preaching is hazy. Heads are muddled, hearts fret. Doubts drain strength. Uncertainty paralyzes action. Unlike the first Christians, who in 3 centuries won the Roman world, and those later Christians who pioneered the Reformation and the Puritan Awakening and the Evangelical Revival and the great missionary movement of the last century, we lack certainty. Why is this? We blame the external pressures of modern secularism. But this is like Eve blaming the serpent. The real truth is that we have grieved the spirits. We stand under divine judgments. It's talking about the church here. It's talking about church leaders. For 2 generations, and it's not 2 generations now, it's more like 3 or 4. For 2 generations, our churches have suffered from a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. We shall never perform a more important task than preaching. If we are not willing to give time to sermon preparation, we are not fit to preach and have no business in the ministry at all. The well-being of the church today depends in large measure on a revival of preaching in the Puritan vein. To the Puritan, faithful preaching was the basic ingredient in faithful pastoring. As I said, I'm sorry, I could not cut that down any further. How absolutely true that is of the church today. Where preaching is seen as being really just something that we do on a Sunday, that something that is to be crowd-pleasing. Something that is to make people feel good. Where we're told, well, if the sermon is not catchy, and if it doesn't have the sound bites, if it's not got that pizzazz that will really please people, then it's boring, it's dull, it's something that should be done away with. The reality is that preaching is so vitally important. And this is what Paul says to Timothy. He gives a rationale for preaching. It's about communicating and upholding God's truth. But why preach? Why do preachers spend time preparing sermons? Why do you sit here and listen to some Scotsman droning on like the bagpipes? Well, from a sort of secular point of view, that's what the world might conclude. Yet, for the Christian, for the person who loves the Word of God, who loves the commands, the way of God, preaching is something that is vital. Where we hear God's words. And Paul underlines, emphasizes the real importance to Timothy. This letter, 2 Timothy, is probably, Paul's last communication with Timothy before he dies. It's his last words to Timothy. And Paul could not have emphasized anymore the essential nature of preaching. He says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. The words that are highlighted, I give you this charge, it doesn't really, that's NIV, doesn't really sort of communicate the real power of it. This is my translation. I earnestly declare before God and Christ Jesus, the one who is about to judge the living and the dead, and in view of the hearing of him and his kingdom, preach the word. That word, I earnestly declare, or I give you this charge, is dia marturomai. It's where we get the word martyr from. It's about witness. It's about proclaiming. And it's a legal word. I give solemn evidence. I solemnly testify. I declare solemnly. It's with real conviction. It's with absolute certainty. This is what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. This is something which is so, so vital for Timothy to understand. Why? Why is it so important that Timothy listens to this, these words about preaching the word? Well, Paul gives us the answer. It's because Christ will appear, and Christ will bring his kingdom. That word, appear, again, it's the word that we get our English word epiphany from. It means an appearing. And it's used of the visit of a king or emperor. And when a king or emperor was coming to a city, just as it happens now in these days, when a king came to visit, the city or the places that the king or the emperor would pass through would be tarted up. Everything would be cleared, it would be cleaned, it would be made presentable. Everything would be prepared perfectly. And Paul says that for Timothy, the importance of preaching the word was because he knows that Jesus is coming back, that Jesus is going to bring his kingdom, that everything has to be ready, everything has to be prepared perfectly. But also, another aspect of it is that he says that he declares it solemnly before Jesus Christ, who is coming, who is about to come and judge the world, to judge the living and the dead. And it's, again, stresses the urgency that Jesus is about to come. So in other words, we have to get ready now. There's no point in putting it off. We have to attend to it now. That's why Paul says that Timothy is to preach. Why? Well, it's because, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Each one of us is going to be judged. Each one of us is going to stand before Christ. And this is a serious matter. This is why preaching is so important and essential. This is why it's so important that we hear the word of God be preached clearly. Because Jesus is coming, and each of us will stand before Jesus. And unless Jesus has paid the price for our sin, unless we are redeemed through his blood, we will be condemned. You will be condemned if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. If you do know him, if you've heard his word being preached, if you know Christ and you've grown in your faith and knowledge of him, then what stands in front of you is eternity, eternal life in Christ. That's why it's so important to hear the word. But we're moving on. Paul also tells Timothy what to preach. In the original letter, of course, there was no chapters, there's no division between chapters, there's no verses. These were all added later. It was just one continuous letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And he's talking about how the world is so close to God's word, how everything's about self. And what is the answer to it? Well, Paul says that the answer is in Scripture, in God's word, in God's revealed word to us, God's message to us. And Paul says that in preaching God's word, that we are to preach in order to instruct. That word instruction in verse 2 actually means teaching or doctrine. It's what we believe. It's the basis of our faith. And Paul says that we need to understand who Jesus is, understand God's way of salvation, and we need to accept it for ourselves. That's sound doctrine. It's believing the gospel. So Paul says that the preacher's message, the preacher's text needs to be based in Scripture. It needs to be based in what God says to us. Not in all sorts of funny little anecdotes and stories. Not in what I think or my spin on Scripture. It's to be clearly on what God says through his words. That's the job of a preacher or a minister or a herald. That we hear God speaking. You know, there is a sad lack of true biblical preaching in the churches today. Even within our own community, our own area, there's so many churches. But how many of them actually preach God's word? Well, I'm not saying that there aren't churches that do, but there are others that don't. Scripture gives us the wisdom that leads to salvation. It equips us for every good work. Scripture reveals to us, as Peter says, everything that we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. We need to hear the word of life. We need to apply it in our lives. We need to understand it. It needs to be the basis of our doctrine, our understanding. Quickly moving on. Paul teaches Timothy also when he's to preach it. When are we to preach or to communicate God's word? Well, Paul says that it's important that we're ready. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, it doesn't matter where there is an opportunity to preach, to proclaim God's love. And this is not just sermons he's talking about. He's talking about actually applying scripture to people's lives. But to be ready in season, out of season, wherever there is an opportunity, wherever God opens up that door, we're to be ready to share the gospel of the good news of Jesus. We are to be ready. And how are we to preach it? Well, Paul says that we preach it by applying it to life. He says to Timothy that it's useful to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and instruction. That's verse 2. The word correct means to reprove, rebuke, discipline. But it also means to expose or to show to be guilty. God's word rebukes us or reproves us. It helps us to see our sin. It challenges us in our attitudes. Biblical preaching should show people where their lives are not in line with God's truth. Where people are challenged to actually be drawn up to consider their lives. We're to correct them, with to challenge them. In other words, we actually challenge their reason, but we also challenge their conscience. The word rebuke, correct, rebuke, and encourage, the word rebuke actually follows on from this. It's a moral aspect of preaching, which not only says, this is wrong, what you're doing is wrong, but you need to repent. You know, in our society today, we don't want to offend people. You don't preach about sin and judgment, condemnation, because that puts people off. It's judgmental. You don't say these things. That's what we're told. Yet Scripture tells us clearly that people must see their need. There's an account given of Alcibiades, who lived in Greek times, and he said to the philosopher Socrates these words: Socrates, I hate you, because every time I meet you, you make me see what I am. You know, that's what should happen. That's what happens when we preach the word, proclaim God's word. People should see who they are, what they are, should see their need. And William Barclay, who was a Scottish professor and minister, it's quite right when he wrote, any teacher whose teaching tends to make men think less of sin is a menace to Christianity and to mankind. In other words, if we try to minimize and hide people's sin, then we're a menace. We're actually deluding people. We're selling them a lie. And finally, we're going to just draw it to a close with this final point. That we must make an appeal to people's will and emotions. We must encourage them. That word encourage is important, because In terms of rebuking and challenging people, it's important that we encourage them, that they not only hear of the truth of sin and judgment, but they also hear of encouragement. You know, some people need rebuke. Some need encouragement. If you encourage those who need rebuking, you assist them to go on sinning. But if you rebuke those who need encouragement, you'll discourage them. Someone has said that the preacher's job is to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable. How true that is. I hope that that's true this morning. That if you're disturbed, I'm comforting you with the gospel of salvation. If you're comfortable, I hope that I'm disturbing you and making you think. Because that is the point. Let me conclude just there, because I think that's so very true. That we need, in a world where there is so much falsehood, so many lies, we need to hear the truth. We need to hear it clearly proclaimed. And what is that truth? It's not my wisdom. It's not the preacher's wisdom or ability to say things in a smart and catchy way. But it's about communicating God's word, allowing God's word to speak to people. That the Holy Spirit might take that and convict our hearts. That the Holy Spirit might correct and rebuke us, might encourage us in our daily lives. That we might be resilient, we might be focused on the Lord Jesus. And we might be conscientious in our living for Him. Just finish with quotes. I'll skip through these ones. It's a quote from John Calvin, who was one of the great reformers in the time of the Reformation. He says, "The more extraordinary the eagerness of wicked men to despise the doctrine of Christ, the more zealous should godly ministers be to defend it, and the more strenuous should be their efforts to preserve it entire. And not only so, but also by their diligence to ward off the attacks of Satan." Pray that for us as a church family, that we indeed have that love for the Word of God, that we might be based on sound doctrine, that in our lives, when we face the turmoil of what's happening round about us, all the competing voices in society, that we are solid. We are anchored. We are secure. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at the five solas. The basis, or some of the foundational beliefs, tenets of our faith, of doctrine. Pray that indeed we might be encouraged by this, and that we might be grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.